We're going to take your calls this hour with Jonathan E. Mord, the constitutional attorney. His latest book is called The Authoritarians. He's also got one called The Rise of Tyranny. We'll take your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Jonathan E. Mord with us. We'll get to your calls as well. Jonathan, why doesn't government simply say, vaccine's available, we recommend you get it, and leave it at that?
They ought to. It's really a matter of control, isn't it? They want to control your decision. They don't want you to have the freedom to decide what's in your own best interest. We've long hated this. In fact, we fought wars over this concept. It is totalitarianism. It is authoritarianism. We ought to reject it. Look at, in particular, look at how egregious it is in the case of kids. They're forcing kids to be vaccinated. And governors like Newsom, and then in New York as well, forcing kids to be vaccinated despite no sound scientific evidence to support the need and evidence of risks that exceed any alleged benefits. You've got myocarditis, endocarditis. I know it's rare, but I'm telling you, if it's your child, that's enough, right? And why do it when there is no need? And government also, look, the cynicism here. They're going to make treatments available both in the federal level and in various states. They're making preferences based on race and based on ethnicity, and they're discriminating against individual Americans. Not only does this violate the 5th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution when it's done through government enterprises or at the behest of the government, it also is a simple case of the emphasis is on dividing Americans when it should be on uniting us. We should all be treated equally. No one should be discriminated against in receipt of treatment based on their vaccination status or their race. We ought to be fighting this together. This is a threat to all Americans. We should treat it like that, and we should attack it that way. We shouldn't use it as a basis to divide people and score political points, and that's what these politicians are doing.
Let's go and take some calls. Let's go to Kathleen in Scranton, Pennsylvania, to get us started. Kathleen, welcome to the program.
Yes. I would like to know, how do we get our therapeutic ivermectin and monoclonal antibodies and our... How do we get these things?
Well, you used to be able to get them from a doctor, but, Jonathan, you can't get it anymore, can you?
It's very difficult. They're making it increasingly difficult. We've got to hold these politicians to account, both on the federal and state level, who are blocking this. If you're in Florida, you're very lucky, because Governor Ron DeSantis has made it a point to ensure the availability of treatments. Your governor and your state should be doing the same thing. If that governor is blocking it, if it's hard to get, if your doctor feels embarrassed or won't even discuss the issue of ivermectin with you, there's trouble, and that's political trouble. Because as I was recently told by a leading physician in the military, he said, look, I don't understand why we don't get to treat this disease like we do every other disease. I can make off-label prescriptions. I can use drugs that are effective mm-hmm. that I find effective. But in the case of COVID, boy, we get shot down right away. We're not allowed to.
It's weird. And why aren't they testing it? Why aren't they doing tests on ivermectin right now to really come up with an excuse or a reason why it should or should not be used?
Right. Well, you know, you've had this drug used all over the world. In fact, it's a preferential treatment in India and other parts of the world because of its shown effectiveness. There are numerous studies on ivermectin and its effectiveness. The reason why there isn't that kind of research, George, in this country is entirely political. Fauci is not going to authorize any federal money for testing. Private parties are not going to do it because they can't get anywhere with it, with the political barriers to accessing it. So, and it's an off-label drug, George. And it only costs, it's very inexpensive.
Right, exactly. Here's part of the problem with ivermectin. People are using and buying, they're going to livestock feed stores, Jonathan, and they're eating the horse warmer, and that stuff's made for a 2,000-pound horse.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. That's not something people should do. But when given in the right dose amount, ivermectin is extraordinarily safe.
There's pills for humans.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's available all over the place, but in pharmacies. But pharmacies are frequently unwilling to allow its prescription unless it is in the case of a parasitic infection. And what they're forcing doctors to do, frankly, is lie. So a doctor wants to save a patient. He thinks in his judgment or her judgment that ivermectin is the best treatment.
So they lie about the condition and get the prescription. And I mean, a doctor just did that and lost her license.
Right. It's a look, if it's a medical necessity, there's a law of necessity. And the duty of a physician, first and foremost, is to do what his or her best in saving a life. If you're a physician and you think that's the best thing to do in a particular case, and you're denied that right because of the prescription limitation, but you know if you prescribed it for a parasitic infection, you would be able to do it. Chances are most conscientious physicians would feel compelled. They might not do it, but they would feel a strong desire to do it. And those who cross the line are doing it for humanitarian reasons and out of necessity. And they shouldn't be losing their licenses. If anything, they should be saluted and complimented because they made in a difficult legal world where necessity is not an excuse for giving someone a life-saving treatment, they made the right decision.
And they shouldn't have to lie about it. They should be able to do what they want to do as doctors.
That's exactly right. Why should the practice of medicine end with a pandemic? It should be open, and we should be using it. Innovation is the answer. Allowing doctors to use their best medical judgment is the best way to treat this. And we're finding treatments are the way out. And yet the government stupidly is making it so difficult, and politicians and even media and big tech are on this vaccine mantra. Never criticize a vaccine. Never bring up any potential limitation to it. Never suggest that that policy is incorrect, or else they're going to whack you. They're going to censor you, and they're going to make you a pariah. And that this is antithetical to the core values of our First Amendment. We, as a people, have dedicated our all on the proposition that individuals need to be free, and we need to have open debate. And open debate is the answer to our problems. And yet the fear of not having a controlled answer drives a lot of these politicians because they want to make the judgment for you. Well, that's not their role. It is your personal autonomy. It is your body. It is your health. You have the most interest in protecting yourself. We should trust in your judgment. The Constitution does. The Constitution makes you sovereign. And yet these people want to take that sovereignty away. In the most vital circumstance, when your life is at stake, they want to take your rights away.
Next up, let's go to Damon in Bakersfield, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Damon.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Good to have you with us.
All right. I got a statement and then a question for you guys.
Okay.
In 1994, I got a cassette tape. It was called Dead Doctors Don't Lie.
By Doc Wallach.
And from following Dr. Wallach's protocol, I haven't been sick, and this is the 28th year?
Good for you.
And I don't get colds and flus and all of that. My body just rejects all that stuff. So, the question I have is, where I work, one of the supervisors had been vaccinated, and she was telling me that during the vacation, her and her husband got COVID. And I'm just saying that a lot of vaccinated people are still getting infected. But the question is, the place I work for still requires testing for the unvaccinated. We're here in California, of course. And so I'm wondering, how do I go about bringing up that, under the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause, shouldn't everybody be getting tested or nobody? Because whether you're vaccinated or not, you're still going to get the virus.
And Jonathan, I understand with the Supreme Court ruling, the weekly testing procedure was dropped as well, wasn't it?
Yes. If it's a public employer, that is, if it's a government employer, then the equal protection arguments fly, and you can rely on the Supreme Court's decision in the various ways we discussed earlier. If it's a private employer, they can do this. And unfortunately, the limitations then are based on civil laws, and in particular, the Civil Rights Act, Title VII, and then also the Americans with Disabilities Act provide a remedy. And so it really depends on the individual facts and circumstances, but there still may be a remedy because they still may be discriminating against you based on your medical history, based on your, as we pointed out, ethnicity is frequently, and race is now becoming a factor in how they treat people.
But what are you going to do, John? Sue your company and then they turn on you later?
Right. What are you going to do? And really, the end of this depends on the freedom of speech, getting people in Congress and in the United States Senate who are willing to stand up for our rights and fight against this and destroy these mandates by legislative action on the federal level and on the state level. And it depends on people like this caller, who's courageous to call and explain this, uniting with those who are similarly discriminated against and taking their message to these Congress critters and to the legislatures in the states and pushing it. Unfortunately, in California, you guys are in dire straits because you've got a political movement there that is so strong in favor of this mantra of vaccinate and punishing the unvaccinated. One last resort, of course, is the difficult one, but moving. And a lot of people are fleeing from California. California is being depopulated by its business and by its people to the extent that they can leave. It's a sad reality. California is a beautiful place, and no one should be given the power that this governor has in ruining it, but he's using it in that effect, and he doesn't care.
Next up, let's go to Phil in Chasta, Minnesota. Welcome to the show. Hi, Philip.
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
It's been a great program tonight. I've listened with great intentness with Jonathan, and what he has been saying is really hit the nerve, and it's wonderful to have somebody as knowledgeable as he on this program. I have two questions.
Sure.
My first question is, what is Jonathan's thoughts on the prevention of COVID and its treatment with cannabis? And my second question is there a possibility of ADE promoting this manic wanting to vaccinate everyone? Those are my two questions.
As far as the cannabis, Jonathan, I'm not sure there have been any studies done with cannabis and COVID. Do you?
Well, there is some preliminary research that suggests that certain elements within cannabis actually have a positive effect on reducing the virus. And that may well be. I mean, many substances actually can help reduce the presence of the virus, some only externally on surfaces, others are appropriate for ingestion, but it is preliminary. And so I would say, you know, let's study it, right? Let's find out.
Exactly. And what about the vaccines that he was talking about?
Well, I think that, you know, anything that causes us to change our direction, whether it's legal or political, away from this mantra of vaccinate and in favor of treatment, is the way we ought to go. And, you know, I'm in favor of exploring all those options. But without question, if a person who is in political office is not with us on this, favoring treatment, and is instead banging that old broken drum of vaccination, they ought not be there. And we as a nation need to rise up. If we're going to overcome this, we have got to get individual rights reestablished and people have the freedom to choose what's in their own best interest with their physician's input. That's the way to deal with this. We are not going to see this go away. It's going to be here for a while. It's going to recede into the zone of the flu virus. But for a long while, we're going to need rapid treatment at early onset.
Now, here's one of my other concerns. Most vaccines take 5 years to develop, and they come out, and some of them are very effective. 5 years. This took 3 months.
Right. And you know what, George? The reality is, and this is what's so maddening about politicians, the reality is, and this is a term I've coined, it's not particularly innovative, but nonetheless, I'm the only one using it. Vaccine fatigue, George. Vaccine fatigue is already here, and it's going to get worse. People are not going to get vaccinated every 6 months, George. Not when it hurts, not when there are adverse effects associated with it.
Right.
There are more adverse effects associated with this vaccine than all other vaccines combined. People are not going to doggedly go in when their risks are there and when they don't feel good getting it and do it over and over again, particularly when they can still catch COVID, right? Oh, what's the point? So vaccine fatigue is going to set in. It is there now. It's going to get worse. The percentages are never going to get too much higher than they are now. They're going to start going down. And the reality is that the only way effectively out is treatment, because vaccine is not the answer.
Well, I want to know why more people have the virus now than we did last year, when more people are vaccinated now.
It's an utter failure of both messaging and exercise of power by the Biden administration and by those who have advocated vaccination from the start as the only answer. The messaging is all wrong. We should be opening the channels of communication and allowing debate. The government shouldn't be siding with one scientific view that is against a wealth of other views, or with one medical opinion against a whole host of other competing opinions. We need access to that information. They shouldn't treat us like the nanny state. We shouldn't be treated as if we have no brains. It's our bodies. We should decide what's in our own best interest. We need information to make those decisions. They should get out of the way and allow the First Amendment to work and free communication to work and innovation to happen. And they should be celebrating these treatments and encouraging them instead of trying not even to mention them.
Let's go to Ed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Eddie. Go ahead.
Thanks, George.
Sure.
Several things here. Karen Kingston worked at Pfizer, was way up in charge of reporting all ingredients to the FDA. She came out in July, and then she came back to this country. She's an expert consultant, and she came back, and she has evidence that they tested 36, this was first reported by a Spanish doctor, by the way, and she confirmed it with evidence that they tested 36,000 people and made the vaccine so that if you have the vaccine, the chance of catching a COVID virus increases 300%. It does not protect, it's not a vaccine, by the way. I call it a non-vaccine. I had polio years ago, and people don't know you get three real vaccines because you can catch three kinds of polio, three variations. You don't ever have to have a booster for a smallpox. I got one 70, 80 years ago, whatever. If somebody put sugar cube with smallpox in my mouth, my immune system would come out and block it and knock it right out. If you're needing a booster in a year, if it was a vaccine, it isn't working. If you need a booster for a booster, I mean, this is insane. You're right. I want to point out that you don't even need to know the science. When you got people that are obviously terrible people running our country.
Hold on for a second, Eddie. I want to get you. We're going into a break, but I'll come right back to you when we come right back. Next hour, how to cope with disaster. Dr. Lori Nadel joins us, and she's going to try to get us through this mess that everybody seems to be in. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, back with our final segment with Jonathan Emord as we talk about constitutional rights or rights in general. Let's go back to Ed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Eddie, go ahead.
Yeah, and Jonathan, the last time I think he had you on, we learned that you beat the FDA five or six times, and I want you to know I'm in awe of you for that, and thank you so much for that. I don't know how in the heck you pull it off, but I'm really happy we got somebody that can handle this thing. I got two more points I'd like to make. I doubt you know the first one. The second one I think you may know, and I want your opinion on. The first is you can look this up. I mean, the stuff's there. August 2015 document in the FDA called viral-based gene therapies and shedding analysis and design studies. It's what's called a viral gene-based therapy. This thing's not a vaccine, by the way. It's biological material in violation of the Nuremberg trial 75 years ago. They need to quit, lawyers quit need to calling it that for the judges because that's what they hear. They need to know they're violating our Geneva Convention. We have the right to keep any material out of our body that we don't want. It's clear evidence they knew shedding would occur. That's right there in print in the FDA paperwork. The last thing I want to say is why do you need to know science when we got people running this country that we know now high up in the bureaucracy even that are malcontent things going on, and they want 75 years to tell you what's in the vaccine? Are you aware, I assume you are, of the Sixth Circuit Court saying last week, we'll give you some time, how about 8 months, and we want 50,000 words and 10,000 a month after that of what's in it. But if somebody wants 75 years in our wonderful democracy that's, you know, transparent, and they want 75 years to tell you what's in it, I'm running.
Go ahead, John.
Yep. Yeah, your caller is very smart indeed, and I appreciate his comments. And on the first point that he made about the mRNA form and the effect on potential effects on immunity, my science advisor for my firm is Dr. Charles B. Simone, is one of the world's leading immunologists and oncologists. And there are serious questions that are not being published and communicated publicly for fear of reaction from the government. About the immunological effects of the vaccine long-term, particularly because this mRNA form has previously been identified as pro-carcinogenic. And in addition, the very nature of this thing, it induces your body to produce these spike proteins, which adhere to these ACE2 receptor sites throughout your body and can be transmitted and cause inflammatory reactions in your body, just like the virus does. Of course, that's what's necessary ultimately to produce antibodies. So one of the fears, there are many, but for example, if you have a breach in your blood-brain barrier and the spike proteins enter your brain, that may increase your risk of Parkinsonism and other neurological disorders. There are other effects too. If you have a heart ailment, for example, and it causes an inflammatory reaction in your heart, that may cause atrial fibrillation. It may cause various other heart ailments. We're seeing adverse reactions of all kinds at greater levels than with any single vaccine or all vaccines combined. Calling it a vaccine may be a dubious thing, as your caller is pointing out. So on a second point about the lack of transparency, of course, that's been a hallmark of this administration from the start. They claim to be transparent, but as you point out, under the Freedom of Information Act, the response was, 75 years from now, we'll tell you what's in it. We'll give you all the information related to that. That kind of reaction is totally absurd. That the courts are countenancing it at all is outrageous. And, I do civil litigation frequently, and there are sometimes millions and millions of pages of documents that we turn over. And we're ordered to do that within a matter of months. There's no reason why the government can't do the same thing.
How did you beat the FDA so many times?
Well, I guess if you passionately believe in the Constitution and you can argue the points clearly to a judge who's receptive, and you can pivot in the midst of argument and debate to positions that share a common interest and value with the decision maker, you can frequently succeed. And I think it's been a number of factors. First, we're scrupulously honest. Second, we are diligent as can be in pursuing our research on the law and our arguments in a very coherent manner. And third, I must say that the government opposition has frequently not been up to snuff. So we've had good fortune. I know it's rare to defeat the government, and I'm very grateful that I've been able to do that. I hope I can continue to do that because, my goodness, as we're talking today, the abuses are legion, George, and our rights really are at stake.
Indeed, indeed. Next up, let's go to Doc in Petaluma, California. Hey, Doc, thanks for holding. Go ahead. Doc? Well, Doc did not hold. Let's go next to Bill in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, what happened to Doc? I'm worried about him now.
Yeah, me too. He disappeared on us.
Yeah. Hope you didn't get the shot or something. Hey, I was going to say, Revelation is all about the Bible, George. This is, and your guest there, was it Jonathan?
Yeah.
I think it was the thing. Yeah, it is about the Bible. You're not going to understand why they're doing this unless you understand about the chapter 12, a third of the stars, which are the fallen angels that try to take over heaven and Satan were cast down. You're not going to understand it until you know the faithful church was told, says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Apparently it's a test, and it even says at the end of the Bible, chapter 22, it goes on to say, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And in chapter 20, it says, this is the part of people not speaking out in this test time. Let's see if I can, I believe it's chapter 21, I think. Anyway, it mentions that the cowardly, here it is, 21, but the cowardly, it mentions here, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So it mentions cowardly in the beginning. So the people that aren't standing up now, like in World War II, didn't stand up for the Jews. The people that are quiet now are going to be judged very harshly, apparently, because they're being shown a delusion of things that are not true. And if they don't speak up, then obviously Jesus comes with his kingdom, and he wants people to be not like chapter 12 when he tried to overtake heaven. Satan and his angels. So those people were convinced somehow by Satan. Those angels were even convinced, a third of them, to overtake heaven.
Well, now, talking biblically for a moment here, Jonathan, is this conceivable that there's some kind of conspiracy here to do in society?
Sure, there are elements that are of that kind. They have allies and those who want power. This is an evil cabal that is moving this forward. You can't say it's anything but evil, because those who would take your rights away and force you to have a treatment without knowing your medical history and without knowing what's best for you and without understanding what your doctors say about your health are people who are willing to sacrifice your life for an end. And what is that end? It can only be control. And why is it that Joe Biden, for example, or the major leaders of all these states who are advocating this, are not willing to allow us to choose what's in our own best interest? Why are they condemning people who choose not to be vaccinated? They might have very good reasons. They might have medical reasons. They might have religious reasons. They might have any number of reasons. It's their rights, their choice. And why you're taking it away in such a cavalier manner. They don't even explain. They don't even talk about the hardships that they cause. They don't even try to mitigate them. This is all evil.
Indeed, indeed. Let's go next to, whose turn is it? Char, first-time caller in Copperopolis, California. Hi, Char.
That's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
It sure is. What a city, huh? Copperopolis.
Yes, we were the Copper Metropolis. I have a quick question. I'm disabled and on Medicare, and I see a naturopath doctor in a nearby town.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, does not believe in this vaccine. He thinks it's ridiculous. He believes in natural immunity, and he's not forcing any of his staff to take the vaccine, thankfully. But now, because of this, he has to charge all of his Medicare patients, of which he has quite a few, cash.
Right.
And that's going to break a lot of people who are disabled or who are senior citizens who, are on a limited income. Is there any end in sight for this horrendous policy?
I'm very, very grateful for the caller to reveal this horror, and I hope against hope that it is not causing you to suffer, and I know that it will cause many to suffer. She's exactly right. Conscientious physicians all over the country now have a very difficult choice if they are getting Medicare or Medicaid reimbursement. They have to decide to get themselves out of Medicare and Medicaid if they're going to have freedom to prescribe what's in the best interest of their patients and not be subject to this mandate for themselves and for their staffs. So we are going to see people suffer because they're going to have to pay out of pocket because they're not going to get Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement. This is something that lands squarely at the feet of Joe Biden. This is something they should have anticipated. These are horrors that are coming, and it is all as a result of this CMS, Medicare, Medicaid employer, healthcare worker mandate. This is the kind of thing that they're just oblivious to. They don't even care to hear it. And yet these are consequences that are real, that are ruinous to people's lives, and that are going to sacrifice the health of many, many people in this country.
Are we getting correct data, Jonathan, out of them?
No. The levels of infection are unreliable.
By the way, the CDC today said their reporting really was crummy.
Yeah.
They admitted it.
They admitted it because it's impossible not to. The information is coming out from so many different sources. The incentives that they created for hospitals to define someone as a case, when in fact they may have come in on another issue, may have died from other causes, and yet they're labeled a COVID patient just because they happen to test positive for COVID, even though COVID may not have been an advanced state, even though COVID may not have been something that was causing them to suffer and die. There's a lot of abuse in these statistics. There are financial incentives that were perverse to favor a reporting, and still to this day. And so the accuracy of all of it is dubious. Now, how far off it is, we don't know. There should be an immediate audit. This is something the Biden administration will not do. They benefit from hysteria, as we know. So they're not doing the common sense thing, which is to audit it, to have a federal audit that is performed to determine the extent to which the information is accurate. Accurate information is critical for the American people. Yet, you know, they're even coming up with the idea that maybe we shouldn't be reporting daily statistics anymore. Right? They're trying to get away from it that way. Oh, we just won't report those statistics. When the information is bad for the administration, they don't want to release it. Look, we're not even getting information about how many people came across the border, for example. They're still withholding that information that's ordinarily released in December. This has been the least transparent administration, actually, in American history, recent American history. And the reason is all political. It is the most highly politicized, divisive administration that we have seen.
If you could change one major thing about all of this, what would that be?
I would say treatment, George. Getting treatment available at every opportunity, every pharmacy, the maximizing treatment, opening up the information exchange so that people get information. In the end, we as a people are going to overcome this, George. The government is going to not be leading this. The government never does. It's going to be innovation, and we fortunately have the treatments. We just need to treat people early, getting that message out. If you have symptoms, you need to get treatment. And government should get out of the way and let physicians practice medicine and allow people to get the treatments and have the options for treatment that they desperately need in order to ensure that there are minimize the long-term consequences of this. Fortunately, Omicron is far less virulent, and people are largely going to survive it. But we need to care for every American. We also need to get rid of this notion of dividing people. We are all Americans. We're all entitled to this treatment. We should all be able to get it. We should not be divided based on race, based on ethnicity, or based on vaccinated status. We all need to be cared for equally.
In 10 seconds, is this a money grab?
It is a money grab for some. It's a power grab for many in government. And we need to change this Congress. Hopefully that will happen in 2022. Hopefully it will be enough to make Joe Biden quake and change his tune. But ultimately, he's got to go because, look, he has been at the root of a lot of this. If you see the federal government make a mistake, you can blame Joe Biden for that. He's not doing anything. I don't know whether it's because of ineptitude. I don't know whether it's because he's transformed himself into a socialist. I don't know exactly what it is in Joe Biden that causes him to be impervious to bad news and to just go dog.
But something happened to him, Jonathan, indeed. Thank you for being on the program. Keep in touch. Up next, Dr. Lori Nadel joins us to try to de-stress us.